carry you on home, sweet love, sweet love, sweet chariot, coming far to carry me, you, us, all of them, on home. Amen. Thank you.
Cindy Sheehan is coming up onto the stage with Joan Baez now. Wow, she's tall. Either that or Joan's very short. She is tall. She's hugging Joan, and it looks like she is going to say a few words. Cindy Sheehan now live from Ken Casey in Austin, Texas.
Isn't she amazing? Do you guys mind if I sit down, too? This has been a pretty amazing day. Oops, did I do that? Oh, okay. I was watching Jon Stewart the other night. I haven't watched TV for a long time. He had Chris Wallace on from Fox News, I think. And they were talking about what's happening out here. And they were talking about, well, Cindy's gone. Her mom had a stroke. And then they said, well, Joan Baez gave a concert last night, and Jon Stewart said, well, apparently they're trying to stop Vietnam. You know, and that kind of offended me, because maybe if we had really stopped Vietnam, Iraq wouldn't have happened. You know, I think it was such a long struggle that after Vietnam, I'm not going to take any credit or blame for this because I was really young. It was just like, oh, phew, we got our troops out. Now we don't have to make sure they never do this to our kids again. And I am going to make sure after our troops are brought home from Iraq, and they will be brought home, that we're going to keep the Camp Casey movement going, and we're going to make sure that our kids are never sent to fight a war for power and greed. I'm thinking probably the country is kind of going to take me at my word from now on. They're going to know that I'm not going to give up. And today was really hard when I came in and saw Casey, bigger than life over there. I miss him so much. And I miss him more every day. But like that song, Joe Hill, Casey's not dead. I see him in all of your eyes. And Casey will never die. And they can kill the body, but they can't kill the love and the spirit. And no matter how hard they try, they can't do that. And I want to tell you a little bit about Casey, because this whole movement is because of him and because of the others that have sacrificed themselves. The hardest thing for me to hear, I don't care about them talking about me being a crackpot or a media whore or a tool of the left, you know. I'm like, if I truly was a media whore, do you think I would, like, maybe get myself fixed up a little bit before I went on? That doesn't bother me at all, but what bothers me so much is when they say I'm dishonoring my son's memory by what I'm doing. That my son would be ashamed of me, or that what they really like to say is I'm pissing or shitting or spitting on his grave. And look what Casey has started. You know, I'm here because of Casey. We're all here because of Casey. And, you know, literally there's over 2,000 of our brave young people and tens of thousands of innocent Iraqis. And I know they're behind us. And I see them, all their faces on your faces. But Casey was such a gentle, kind, loving person. He never even got in one fist fight his whole life. Nobody even hated him enough to punch him, let alone kill him. And that's what George Bush did. He put our kids in another person's country. And Casey was killed by insurgents. He wasn't killed by terrorists. He was killed by Shiite militia who wanted... They wanted him out of the country. When Casey was told that he was going to be welcomed with chocolates and flowers as a liberator, well, the people of Iraq saw it differently. They saw him as an occupier. Casey, I want you guys to know about him. You guys know he was an altar boy for 10 years. You guys know he was an Eagle Scout. You guys know he was an honor student. You guys know he was a very brave person who was scared out of his mind on April 4th. But he went anyway because he said, "Where my chief goes, I go." But you don't know the little boy. He used to come up behind me. He used to wrap his arms around my legs. And he kissed me on the butt. And he'd say, "I love you, Mama." And if he wasn't doing that, he'd walk by. And he'd go, "Do yin, huh, Mama?" And that meant, "What are you doing, Mama?" Every night we'd put him to bed. Every night he would say, "Thank you, Mom. This was the best day of my life." There's a couple of funny stories. Once when he wasn't even two, it was Easter Sunday. And we were all at Mass, and we were all jammed into one pew. You know, there's a bunch of us, and the church was full. And we had just, we were standing up, and we sang the Lamb of God, we're Catholic. And then we went to kneel down, and as soon as we knelt down, Casey stood up on one of the kneelers, and at the top of his voice, he goes, "I'm Popeye the Sailor Man." And everybody in the whole church was cracking up. And so from then on, people at our church called him Popeye. They go, "Hey, there's Popeye." And another cute story, when he was in kindergarten, he went to the Catholic school where we went to church. And he went to afternoon, so we couldn't pull in the parking lot. So we'd have to drive around looking for a place to park. So we were driving around one time, and he goes, "Oh, Mama, there's a place." And I said, "Oh, honey, we can't park there. It's handicapped." He goes, "Oh, that's right. We're not handicapped. We're Catholic." And then he thought there was only two religions in the world. And you guys might know these if you were, you know, grow up Catholic. It's Catholic and public. So they thought that those were the two religions. And so when Casey... his rebellious teenage years, when we told him something he didn't agree with or whatever, this was his extent of his talking back to us. You know, seriously, this kid was just an amazing person, and we were so shocked when he joined the army. I mean, that would have been the last thing we would have expected from Casey, but also the first thing, because he always wanted to help. He always wanted to serve. He thought he was giving something back to his country and his community, also, you know, having been lied to by his recruiter. So then for my boy to be killed in a war. I don't know if you moms did the same thing, but when I would nurse him, I would promise him I would never let him go to war. You know, and I broke that promise to him. So this is the boy who they say I'm dishonoring by what I do. And I know when I get up with Casey, like, he went there first before me. When I get up, he's going to say, good job, Mom. He's not going to say. He's not going to say, why'd you make me spin in my grave, Mom? You know, and I can just hear him going, George Bush, you are really an idiot. You did not think, you know, you didn't know what you were doing when you killed me. You know, you didn't know what you were getting into. And I'm sure Casey's up there with Ken and all the others, and they're just going, wow, did these guys have moms? You know, what, they didn't know that this was going to happen when they killed us. You know, so Casey, he wanted to get married. Everybody thought he'd be a priest. But he told me, Mom, I want to have a family. I want to get married. And he wanted to be a deacon in the Catholic Church, which you can be be a married person too. And he was told he can be a chaplain's assistant in the Army. And when he got there, they said, well, you know, psych, that's full. You have to be a cook or a Humvee mechanic. So he became a Humvee mechanic. He wanted to be an elementary school teacher. He loved kids. He loved animals. He was a very good big brother to Andy and Carly and Janie. And his murder has left a hole in our heart and in our family, and it's never going to be replaced, no matter how many wonderful people I meet, how many boys that call me Mom. They're not Casey. He used to call me every day from Fort Hood. I miss that. And Karen knows, like, probably for almost a year after he was killed, every time the phone rang, I'd think, oh, that's Casey. And so it just, like, hits you about 50 times a day that you're never going to talk to them or never going to see them again. And that's why I do what I do. Because I can't bear the thought of another mother having to go through the pain that I'm going through. And that's the only reason I do it. So that's what we're here for. We're here because we want to make our kids, their deaths stand for peace and love. And this is what's at Camp Casey. And, you know, some people are saying, oh, what are you guys trying to do, recreate the 60s? Oh, yeah, peace and love is a really bad thing, you know. And it's been something that's been missing in our country for decades. And I'm not ashamed to say it. You know, I'm not ashamed to say that this is a place where you can come and feel loved. You know, this is a place where the end of the occupation of Iraq started. This is the place. This is the place where America comes to say, we've had it, enough. Enough. You might be able to lie to Congress. You might be able to lie to the media, but you're not lying to us anymore. And this is it. This is where it's going to begin. And we're not going to stop today. We're not going to stop on the 31st. We're not going to stop ever, ever. We will make sure that this keeps on going. We won't have a war, another war in 30 or 40 years where we'll be saying, oh, this is another Iraq. You know, no, no, it's not going to ever happen again. And it's not going to just be me. It's going to be me with the millions of people who are behind us making sure that that'll happen. And you know when this is going to stop? This is going to stop when the mothers say, no, I'm not giving my son to you. I'm not giving my son to you so you can kill him to line your pockets. And that's when it's going to stop. I've said this a lot of times before. When Casey was born, I looked in his eyes, and it looked like he could tell what I was thinking. That's very disarming when you have like a week old baby looking at you, and you know what he's you know he knows what you're thinking. And I knew he was going to be a great man. I just had no idea how great he was going to be, or how much it was going to hurt me. And thank you, Casey, and thank you, Ken, and thank you, all the others. And I know that they are in heaven, and I know that that's why this movement is growing, because we have tens of thousands of angels behind us that are supporting us, that are saying, well, you know, we died, and that was really crappy, but we hope that our death's going to make the world a better place. And it's up to us to make sure that it does. Thank you.
That was Cindy Sheehan here at Camp Casey.